We're in the middle of a series. We're getting back to it this week. I didn't get to listen to your message yet, Dave.
I didn't do anything with it.
Jesus is. And I was thinking about that as we were worshiping in Psalm this morning. And I'm going to start by asking you to fill that blank in this morning after our time of worship. Jesus is what to you?
Faithful.
Awesome. Savior. I thought of that one a lot. What are you saying?
Love.
That's the other one I was thinking of. Love. An example. Jesus is God. I thought we missed the last two Sundays we were vacationing. Seems like our vacations this year so far have been just long weekends. But I thought I better listen to Glenn's sermon to see what he preached on, make sure it's not the same thing this morning. We don't plan things out. We usually let the Holy Spirit do that. And so I listened to his sermon this morning. And I thought it was interesting. One of his texts was Matthew 24. And he talked about Jesus is coming again. And it leads right into, I think, what the Holy Spirit put in my heart for this morning. Matthew 25, in fact, Glenn even used this scripture 2 weeks ago. But I'm going to ask Laura to read it. We're going to be looking at Matthew 25 this morning towards the end of the chapter. It's very familiar. Listen to this scripture as Laura reads it.
Matthew 25, 31 to 46. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty, or a stranger, or needing clothes, or sick, or in prison, and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gift that you've given us that we call the Bible. Thank you for the words of life that are in it. Thank you for the promises that you've given each of us. We pray, Father, that you would open our hearts this morning to receive your message. I pray it wouldn't be my thoughts or my speaking this morning, but it'd be you using me, Father. We want to hear from you this morning, and so we just look forward to what you have for us. In your name we pray, amen. This morning, we're going to be looking at Jesus is Judge. And my first response was, really? Do we have to look at this? What am I supposed to say about this? And so this is what the Lord gave me. We're going to start out by looking at four scriptures. They're just random scriptures talking about Jesus and judgment. Okay, and I want you to listen to them because if you put them all together, it may not make sense to you. But they're all from the book of John. So if you have a scripture from the book of John, get ready to read it. John 3:17, John 12:47, John 9:39, and John 5:22. You don't have to turn there. Just listen to the scriptures.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him.
As for the person who hears my word, but does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world.
Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into this world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind."
For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son.
Okay, so what do you think of those scriptures? Some of them are saying that I didn't come to judge. I did come to judge. Jesus is going to be judge. I'm not the judge. It gets a little confusing if we look at them all individually, doesn't it? So this morning, let's look at our text. Matthew 25, verse 31 starts out, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his throne in heavenly glory." Matthew 24, which Glenn talked about 2 weeks ago, and Matthew 25, have to do with Jesus' second coming. And so when we think of Jesus as being a judge, Jesus is going to come back again. It hasn't happened yet. But he's coming to judge us when he comes back again. And so when we talk about Jesus not being a judge, it's referring to Jesus' first coming, which when he was born in Bethlehem, Mary and Joseph raised him. Jesus, knowing that judgment is coming, came here to save us. And so we often read it that Jesus wasn't judging, but he was coming here to save people and to draw them to his heavenly Father. When we talk about Jesus being judged, we're talking about the future. And so if we look at the whole chapter of chapter 25 of Matthew, the first part of that, there's two parables, and they're both familiar. You know them very, very well. The first one is about the 10 virgins. Do you remember they come with, they have 10 lamps. 5 are prepared. They have extra oil, 5 are not. And this is verse 6. It says, "At midnight the cry rang out, 'Here's the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all the virgins woke up and trimmed their lamps. The foolish ones said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, our lamps are going out.' 'No,' they replied, 'there may not be enough for both of us. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves.' And so while they were away, the door is opened, everyone goes in for the wedding feast, and the door is closed." What Jesus is trying to tell us is that we need to be prepared for his second coming. We need to get ready. It could be today. It could be tomorrow. Are you prepared for when Jesus comes back again? And then he goes into the second parable, which is the parable of talents. There's a master that goes away. He gives one servant 5, 1, 2, 1, 1. You know the story very well. 2 of them use those talents and earn more. The 5 that had 5 talents ends up with 10, and so on. The one that had 1, what did he do? He went and buried it. He didn't use it. I think what God's telling us in the second parable is we need to use the gifts that he's given us. Each of you has a gift that God's given you. And so not only do we have to be ready for when Jesus comes again, we need to be using the gifts he's given us to help others get ready. Why did you come to church to New Beginnings this morning? This is a question for you to answer out loud. Why did you come to church this morning here? Worship God? What draws you here? The good snacks. Thank you, Deb. Your parents are here. Yeah. Why do you come here? Fellowship. experience the love of Jesus? You know, God intends for us to be part of a fellowship somewhere. He wants us to worship with other believers. There's a reason that he wired us to do that and wants us to do that. I mean, we can encourage one another. We can be encouraged when we need it. We can help others when they need it. So maybe you like the people. Maybe you like what's preached. You might like the snacks. Maybe it's because your parents are here. But if you're looking to attend a church, you need to find a church that's preaching God's word. Okay? You need to have a church that's preaching from this. If we're not doing that, you need to hold us accountable to make sure we are doing that, right? And don't be afraid to do that. I mean, that's important. Some people, I think, attend a church because they like what's being preached. And that could be a good thing if the word of God's being preached and you like that. But it also could be because maybe what's being preached lines up with your opinions. A number of weeks ago when we were missing one Sunday, Judy and I went to another church, and I thought the children's story was very interesting. We watched a video on plastics, and at the end of this story, the pastor is encouraging the kids to make sure their parents aren't using plastic bags. And I'm thinking, well, you know, that kind of goes against Scripture. First of all, I think that the parents should be teaching the children. But, you know, where's Jesus? We need to be talking about Jesus in church. And sometimes it's easy to go to a church because maybe, and in a sense, we're all the same in a lot of ways here as far as what we believe in social issues and things like that. But that shouldn't be the reason why we come here. It should be because we want to look at this word and learn from Jesus. We want to hear what Jesus is saying and what he's wanting for our lives. And so, when you have an opinion on certain things, and this is a good lesson for me because I'm very opinionated, for those of you who know me. When you have an opinion, and Becky's shaking her head, yes. When you have an opinion on something, I want to tell you right now that that doesn't really matter. What your opinion is not important. What's important in life is what God's opinion is, what he's saying to do. I mean, when I form opinions, it better be through the prism of Jesus Christ, his example. It better be through the prism of God's word, what it says. And there's some times when we get a little off, maybe. And so we want to go to a church that maybe steps on our toes a little bit sometimes, because when God's word is preached, your toes should be stepped on once in a while, because unless you're not like me, I'm not perfect. And there's things that God wants to deal with me in my life. He wants to improve and draw me closer to my Heavenly Father. And so there's things that have to go for that to happen sometimes. And so sometimes your toes might be stepped on because God is dealing with you. The Holy Spirit is asking for you to get rid of something in your life. And so when we choose to go to a church, the things that matter are, what's God's word saying? And am I following the example that Jesus gave us in the way I live my life? Jesus came to save us. Jesus did not come to judge sinners. But when he came, he did all he could to gently, lovingly lead them away from sin and to his Heavenly Father. Would you agree with that? You don't hear Jesus condemning a lot of people. I think the persons he condemned the most would have been the people that were part of the church. But Jesus wanted to draw people to his Heavenly Father. And we need to be doing the same to the people around us. Because one day we'll be accountable for everything we've done. There's two scriptures here. I think they're a little sobering. The first one's Matthew 12, 36, 37. If you have that, go ahead and read that, please.
But I tell you that men will have to give account on the day of judgment for every careless word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned.
Every word that comes out of my mouth, I'll be held accountable for. Isn't that a sobering thought? And how about 2 Corinthians 5:10?
For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due us for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad.
Okay, we're all going to be held accountable someday. There is a day of judgment coming for everyone. Getting back to verse 31, I guess we got off on a little bunny trail there. Back to verse 31, when Jesus comes in his glory and all the angels with him. That's the NIV. If you look at the King James I like a little bit better. It says the holy angels. And I had to think not all the angels are going to be with Jesus when he comes back. The angels that left with Satan and Satan himself will not be coming back to judge us with Jesus. If we go on to verses 32 and 33, I think it's pretty obvious to see that Jesus is not coming back anymore as a Savior. He's coming back as our judge now. And it talks about, it doesn't say some nations or most nations, all nations will be gathered before him. So two things are happening. Everyone's going to come before Jesus and he's going to judge them. And one thing I see over and over in this scripture that we're looking at this morning is that there's pretty much two choices. Here we're referring to, he's going to separate us into, says the sheep and the goats. Two groups. The sheep will be in his right hand, the goats are going to be in his left hand. Now I'm not an expert in sheep and goats, so if someone is more of an expert than I am, you can speak up right now. But when I did a little bit of research on sheep, sheep tend to be followers. I think I've heard this. I think I've heard Bill, if you know Bill Longenecker, he tended sheep all his life, and I heard him preach sermons on sheep. I think some of us have done that. But sheep tend to be followers, don't they? If they have a good shepherd, and they know that that shepherd always takes them to the place where the grass is really green and good tasting, and there's plenty of it, they're going to follow that shepherd. And if that shepherd goes off a cliff, they'll probably follow him off a cliff. That's the type of type of animals that sheep are. The other thing I read about sheep is that when they are in a flock and they're grazing, they're really close together. I mean, they kind of are standing right beside each other when they're grazing. Goats, on the other hand, when I read a little bit about them, they're a little bit more independent. They like to do what they want sometimes. If they're in a flock and they're grazing, it said that they're going to be more spread out. There's going to be more space between them. If because they're curious, if they see something or they want to go somewhere, they'll go off and check on that because they kind of have a mind of their own. I thought, well, maybe that tells us a little bit how we should be a sheep and not a goat as we look at some of the characteristics of those two animals. The sheep in the scripture here are those who follow Jesus. They are the ones that did what Jesus wanted them to do. They're the ones that lived their lives like Jesus lived his life. The goats, on the other hand, are ones that kind of did what they wanted to do in life and didn't really follow what Jesus was asking them to do. And so we see the difference between sheep and goats. It's pretty obvious. Those that followed Jesus and those that knew Jesus maybe but didn't kind of wanted to do what they wanted to do on their own, not what Jesus wanted them to do. So then we move on to verse 34. And we see that there's a reward for those who are faithful. When Jesus comes to judge, there's going to be a reward for you if you are faithful to Jesus. And we see that there's a place prepared for all eternity. We call that place heaven. There's a place for you to reside with your Heavenly Father for all of eternity. So if you repented of your sin, if you've given your heart to Jesus, if you made a change in your life, and if you're living your life for Jesus Christ, you are going to receive the reward of heaven when Jesus comes to judge. When we move on to verses 35 to 40, there's two groups of verses here, 35 to 40 and 41 to 45. And they're basically almost identical, aren't they? When Laura read those, there's just very subtle differences. But we see that one of the ways that Jesus is going to judge us is by our actions. This isn't saying that we're saved by what we do. What this is saying, that if you've asked Jesus into your life and you're living for Jesus, it's going to affect the way you do things. What we say isn't always important, but the way we act sometimes is more important than what we say, isn't it? I can say all the right things, but if I don't live my life the right way, what I say isn't going to mean a whole lot. Luke 22:36 is an account when one of the Pharisees, or a leader of the Jewish people, came up to Jesus and said, "Jesus, what's the greatest commandment?" And I think all the Jewish people would have known this answer, but Jesus said, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind." That was a scripture that every Jewish man, woman, and child, I think, would have known. That was a scripture that they would have put in their in a little box. They would have rolled it up, put a little box on their doorpost. It was just used all the time. It's something that was very important to them. And I think that comes from Deuteronomy 6:4, when we read about that scripture that Jesus would have quoted. But then Jesus went on to say something else that I don't think maybe this man was expecting this part of the answer. But you remember what the second thing was he said? Second most important commandment? Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus is judging us on how we treat others. It's important that we keep God first in our life, but it's also important that we treat others the way Jesus treated them. So this morning, and I ask myself these same questions, do you have a heart for the lost this morning? Do you have a heart for those that don't know Jesus Christ? Do you tell others about Jesus? I would challenge each one of us to tell somebody about Jesus this week. How many people do we come in contact with? Tell someone about Jesus who needs to hear about him. And you meet people's needs. I had to think about that, and Barry will probably share this and clean in a couple weeks, but when they were at conference in Cincinnati, I remember Barry saying about they walked by a lot of homeless people on the way from their motel to the conference center. And so how should we minister to these people, I think, was being talked about between some of the people there. And meeting someone's need doesn't always mean giving them money. Sometimes meeting someone's need might be not giving them something or very minimal so they can learn a lesson that's going to help them in life. Just giving some money is always easy to give, and I think that was one of the first things that these homeless people, we can give them a dollar. But it's much harder to invite them into a restaurant and give them a meal, isn't it? It involves a little bit of sacrifice in you, but it also gives you time to interact and talk to people. And that's something that we're losing in our society because of all these things we have. iPhones, iPads, whatever. You know, and it's interesting. Somebody who worked at LMH High School once told me that when they went into their atrium, they'd hear kids talking, and it was very loud and noisy. Today, when you go into that atrium, they said you can almost hear a pin drop because everybody's doing this. We need to be interacting with people. We need to be coming down to their level. We need to be meeting their needs. The next group of verses, 41 to 45, are those who we put into the goat category. And it seems that they're not interested in other people's needs. In fact, in verse 44, I think it says that, well, when did we see you hungry, Lord? Or when did we see you thirsty? When did we see you in prison? They didn't realize that they were doing anything wrong. I think it's important that none of us would ever fall into that category. We need to be getting out and interacting with people more so, I think, than what we do now. We need to be telling them about Jesus. When you go to work tomorrow, are you going to behave any differently than you behave here this morning? What we say on Sunday doesn't mean a whole lot unless we live that out through the rest of the week. And I think we understand that, but I think it's good to just be reminded of that. Did anyone here ever get angry? Am I the only one? Charles and I and Chris are the only ones that... Oh, and Emily. Okay, so we're the only ones that get angry here. But when you get angry, who's in control? Is Jesus in control, or are you in control?
Devil.
Or the devil. I had to think about that because I run into issues at work all the time. In fact, one time, and this actually made me feel good. One time, because we were a small business, I sit out at where we actually ring people up in the store. I work at a little hardware store. And I order stuff, and I was actually on the phone one time when some customers came in with a vendor who had just messed everything up. And so I thought I was being pretty stern with them and pretty nasty maybe. And I apologized to the customer that, oh, sorry you had to hear that. I was pretty upset with him. And he said, well, if that's how you get when you're upset, you can get upset with me anytime. So that made me feel a little good. But I often think about how do we handle business situations like that as Christians? One time, just recently, I had put an order in and it got all messed up. It cost our company money. It cost me not having product in for a customer, which is a big problem. And so I was ready to, in the way I lay into people, I was ready to do that. And I called the rep up, and she said, I said, who handles the Rubbermaid account? Oh, well, that would be Matt. He just started this week. And so I didn't fuss at him at all. I just extended grace, because it was very good that I heard that he just started. And sometimes it's good to know that thing. But there's other situations where you have to be stern, and it's a very tough time sometimes being a Christian the way Jesus wants us to be throughout the week. And some of you who are in the business world understand that. But we still need to remember that Jesus has to be in control even when we're angry. Jesus, I think, was angry in the temple. But he had more love than anger, I think, when he walked through that temple overturning tables. We need to be thinking about others and how they need to know Jesus, because there is a place for you to spend eternity in if you're a goat. In verse 46, what's it say there? Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. Eternal punishment, that's just what I would like for the rest of eternity, isn't it? There really is no choice. And so why do we struggle so much sometimes in telling others about Jesus? But I see, again, there's only two choices. Some people would like to make 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 10 choices maybe of where we spend eternity. But according to God's word, there's two. There's heaven or there's hell. Let's close by looking at Revelation 20, 11 to 15. I think I gave that to somebody. Does somebody have that?
Yes.
Go ahead and read that.
Written in the book. The dead gave up, sorry, gave up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades delivered up the dead who were in them. And they were judged, each one according to his works. Then death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Anyone not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire.
We see in this scripture Jesus as judge, don't we? But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is a just judge. There's not going to be any mistake. Sometimes our judges here in this country make mistakes because they may not have all the facts or they may not know everything they need to know. What did it say? There's going to be books of everything recorded. Sometimes I thought of the judgment, as I thought about that this week, Jesus judging, I thought, how long is this going to take, Lord? You know, but I guess when we're talking about eternity, 100 years to judge everybody, might not be that long. But it seems like it would take a long time, but there's books, there's records of everything you've said, everything you've done. So you will be justly judged when you stand before that throne. So it's good to know that Jesus is going to judge correctly when we stand before him. But again, I only see two outcomes here. And it doesn't sound good. Revelation 20:10 says, and the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of burning sulfur, the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet have been thrown. They will be tormented day and night forever and ever. Don't let anybody deceive you. Hell is not a good place. It's not a place you're going to want to go to. But there is a place that's pretty awesome. And I can't tell you how awesome heaven's going to be because I would fail miserably. It's beyond what we can imagine. We get a glimpse of it. Go home and read Revelation 21 and 22. And you can get a little glimpse of what heaven's going to be like. The best description I ever heard of heaven was found in the last book, The Chronicles of Narnia. C.S. Lewis kind of described heaven as they kept going in, upward and in. And every time they went to a new level, it was 10 times better than the last. And it didn't seem like there was any end to those levels. And that's the closest I think I ever heard of a good description of heaven. We just can't imagine how awesome it's going to be. So I always ask myself at the end, what does God want us to get out of this scripture? What are we supposed to learn? So I want you to really understand, I think, what's going on here and what Jesus is doing for us. But how many of you are parents? How many of you have kids? Quite a few. What would you do to keep your child from going to hell? What would you be willing to do? That's how much God loves every one of us here. We are all his children. And he will do anything in his power to keep us from going to hell because he wants to spend eternity with you and with me, with every one of us. He loves us so much that he was willing to die for us. Had to think about that as we sang the songs in worship. It sounded like Easter Sunday songs, didn't it? But that's how much he loved us. That he was willing to die. Even when you didn't care about him, when you didn't love him, when you didn't even think about him, he was still willing to die for you so that you could spend eternity with him. So I think the challenge for us this morning is, we need to carry that love of Jesus out to our workplace, to our homes, to our neighbors, to people we come into contact with this week. What would you be willing to do for them so that they don't have to spend an eternity in hell? That was a challenging question for me to think about. But think about that this week. And don't just agree that that needs to happen, go out and do that in your life. Yes. Everybody will be judged at one time or another. There's a whole bunch of different judgments that take place in Scripture. This Scripture in Revelation says that all the dead will be raised. I don't understand the book of Revelation completely. There's a lot that goes on in there. When we die, do we go to heaven? Probably not. There's a place in Scripture where the thief on the cross, when he died, Jesus said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." Scripture tells us that God is preparing right now a place for us. Revelation tells us there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth coming down. So somebody here with a little more knowledge may want to answer that, but
Scott,
yeah.
Isn't the judgment that I just read in Revelation 20, isn't that the judgment of those who are not found in the book of life?
But it says if your name isn't in the book of life, this is the consequence. There's a judgment for Christians at some point because, yeah. I will do some more research on that and studying on it. I know there's a lot of different opinions out there, but I believe we're all going to stand before Christ someday, whether it's all at this point or some other point. Because Scripture does tell us we all will stand before Jesus. It may not be all together. There's theologians would differ on maybe how that happens. But I believe we're all going to stand before Jesus someday. And we'll be held accountable. And yeah. I think the important part is that we're all going to be judged. Some people believe in eternal security. I don't want to get into that. I don't believe in that. I think you can fall away. There's opinions on both sides. But the important thing is we understand whether you believe in eternal security or not is that if you don't know Jesus, you need to know him. And you will be judged someday. There are rewards in heaven. Scripture does say that as well. We all will come before the judgment seat sometime. And either he's going to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant, or I don't know if that answers your question. I'll do some more studying on that. There are so many different opinions, but I think it's important to understand you will be judged at some point. So it's important how we live our lives here. It's important that we live them for Jesus. I don't know if that helps at all. Or anybody else have a comment on that? That's a deep question. I want to close. I didn't have a song to close, but I think we're going to close singing Sanctuary. I think we know that song. We can sing it. We'll sing it through twice just as a closing song. Because I think that's what we need right now. Lord, prepare me. Thank you for your presence here this morning. We ask that you would go with us now this week. Encourage us, empower us, speak through us, and use us to bring you honor and glory is what we ask in your name. Amen.